Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are all here representing Perseverance Theater and the STAR program, Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Shelley.
Yeah, full house in the studio, so let's begin with introductions. First up, Kat Shelton. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your theater and acting experience.
I've done STAR. This is my second year now, and I've done Shakespeare for both of my years. I really enjoy it, and I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
What made you want to do it in the first place?
Well, I did a school play before, and I really enjoyed that. So I decided I would try this because I found it and I didn't have a camp to do in the summer. So I decided, why not?
Good thing STAR was there. And Miles Caldwell, how about you? You're about to enter your junior year at Thunder Mountain High School. How did you get into acting?
Well, I've always been surrounded by, well, my dad's an improviser, has been for about as long as I can remember. That by itself, I think that was plenty. And yeah, acting's just it's fun. It's always been fun. I've always seen it to some extent and actually gotten to doing theater plays around 3 years ago, I believe.
Chip off the old block. And last but certainly not least, Julie Copens. You're the STAR program director, among many other things. Would you like to tell us a bit about the upcoming productions that that involve your two charming friends here?
Right. Well, so Kat is one of the performers in the Shakespeare production we're doing this summer, which is Pericles. It's one of Shakespeare's lesser-known works. We are taking a futuristic approach to it, so it's kind of a space-age adventure story centered on a very charismatic hero. So that's the Shakespeare. And then for our musical this summer, instead of doing something, out of the Disney catalog or whatever, I reached out to some friends of mine in North Carolina, Triad Stage in Greensboro, which does these wonderful regional folklore-inspired musicals with compositions, songs by Laura Lynn Dossett, who's a wonderful composer out of the Carolina Piedmont. She created, with Preston Lane, the musical Bloody Blackbeard, which tells the story of how Edmund Teach turned into this notorious pirate. So we have a pirate musical. We have another kind of seafaring adventure, but instead of out in the stars, we're out on the seas, and Miles plays the title role, so he gets to be evil. So we've got pirates and space rangers all rehearsing, and then these productions go up next weekend on our main stage over at Perseverance.
Cool. And Julie, you are directing Bloody Blackbeard.
Right.
And you also wrote this adaptation of Pericles. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Pericles first. So what's kind of different about it is that it takes place in outer space.
Right.
And
why not?
And there's some other things as well. Like, how did you make it friendlier for a young cast?
Right. Well, for one thing, I mean, it's a Shakespeare play. Most Shakespeare plays are on the long side. That's a lot. And our STAR program, it's only a 3-week production program. We call it STAR Core. And that's not a lot of time for a young actor to develop a role and just to learn a part. And we also think for our family audiences, we like to keep the shows a little on the shorter side. So it's about an hour, 15 minutes. So my first job as adapter was just, you know, keeping all the good parts, but taking out what was maybe extraneous or unnecessary. And then some of the things that ended up on the cutting room floor were, there's this whole episode in the first act of Pericles involving young people, cover your ears, but it involves an incestuous affair between the king of Antioch and his daughter, and Pericles discovers it and ends up on the run from this king who is really mad that Pericles discovered his secret. It's interesting, but it's really not essential to the story. And for our young audience, it's kind of crazy. Cringy. We don't even want to go there. So we make mention of it, but our production basically starts with Act 2 when Pericles goes to this other planet that is suffering from a famine, Tarsus, and he brings food to the people and he saves the day. Later on, that king and queen kind of turn around and stab him in the back. So that's an important element to keep. Later in the story, there's a subplot involving Pericles' daughter who he thought died, or not died, but he thought the mother died at sea giving birth. The baby gets orphaned off, or fostered out to the family on Tarsus. She grows up. She's kidnapped by pirates. She's almost murdered. She ends up in a bordello, basically, where she's pulled into this kind of prostitution ring. Again, cover your ears. We're sort of skirting that and putting it in the future, making the show so fantastical. They're everybody's aliens, everybody, you know, it sort of takes away, it keeps the essentials of the story, but it doesn't get too far into, again, kind of the cringe factor of the story. And you're like, okay, well, why do all that? Why even do Pericles if it's that problematic? Well, you may well ask. Well, one thing, Star's been around for a while. It's done a lot of the greatest hits of Shakespeare last summer, As You Like It. They've done Hamlet. They've done even non-Shakespeare. They did Antigone a few years ago. Of course, A Midsummer Night's Dream gets revived again and again. I wanted to pick a less familiar piece. Pericles, what it has is an amazing character arc for that lead character that involves so many other characters too, lots of great ensemble parts. And there's a reunion scene at the end, not to give too much away, but all the things that Pericles thought were tragedies in his life turn around. And it's one of the most wonderful scenes in all of Shakespeare when fortune finally smiles. And he even says in the script, you know, the stars finally are smiling on me. So I didn't rewrite that line. That's actually in the script. All of his references to stars and planets, and it's all in there. So it really holds together, I think. I think the audience is really going to love it and be surprised by it. It's a less familiar story, but these students really do a great job with it.
Well, it sounds like a real original take.
Yeah.
Kat, you play a role in Pericles. What's the name of your character, and what's she like?
She is, her name is Thaisa, and she is a princess on the planet Pentapolis. And she ends up marrying Pericles on her birthday, and then they get married, as I said, and they go off. She demands that she goes on a journey with him, but during that journey she goes into labor and then dies because she was pregnant.
That's sad.
Or they thought she was dead. But not to give too much away.
Right.
You can say. Okay. She was only mostly dead.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds like an intriguing character. Are you anything like her in real life? What do you think of this, of Thaisa?
I think she's a really intriguing character, and maybe I'm slightly like her, but not in too many ways. She has a lot of things that go on in her life that I can't really relate to, honestly. So maybe partially, yeah.
Yeah.
So she starts off as royalty and then kind of becomes a priestess. So
she has a transformation.
Yeah. Definitely.
One funny thing with Thaisa that I think makes her special, she has a unique father-daughter relationship with the king, with Simonides. And it's sort of funny where Simonides, you know how we parents have sort of backdoor ways of getting our kids do what we want them to do. And he uses a little reverse psychology and it's a fun element. I think parents and children both will recognize. And Thaisa is actually even smarter than that. And she plays the game right back at dad to get what she wants. She actually is crushing hard over Pericles and is really happy. So it's a fun little episode. And I think any teenager or any parent of a teenager will relate strongly to that.
Cool. And now Bloody Blackbeard, sounds terrifying, by the way.
It is.
Features Miles as Blackbeard. Miles, who is Blackbeard and what made you want this lead role?
Well, I mean, to start, Blackbeard's Blackbeard. You have clearly heard of Blackbeard, the dread pirate Blackbeard. He's a brutal man who, well, he's a dread pirate. He enjoys the thrill of battle, seeing the terror in his enemies' hearts as they strike their colors. And I think what really made me want to play him was just when we started reading through the lines, just the feeling of power and just reckless abandon that there was, because he doesn't have to answer to anyone and he doesn't act like it. So if he is talking down to someone who has gotten his anger, who has gotten his attention, he doesn't have to act restrained. Like he will express all of that anger. He will be explosive. There's just something almost relieving about that. I don't know. Something where everyone's just felt a time where they've just been frustrated one to at least say something, but they know that it's better to just leave it well enough alone. But that's just in complete opposition to that.
He does what he wants. Consequences be damned. I have a quote from you, Miles, saying the character is not sympathetic, yet the audience may still grow a connection by seeing him develop. I liked that line. Can you say more about what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, I've already said he's a brutal man, so you get how he wouldn't exactly be sympathetic. Like, if he was a character who showed up midway through, he would just be another antagonist. But the thing is, you see him become Blackbeard. You see what he was. You see him become it, and you see how he progresses, what's happening, and it's almost impossible to not at least have some relationship, even if it isn't one where you're rooting for them, because, well, you've been with them that entire time. You've been with the character from beginning to end in some form or another, so you kind of have to, at the very least, you have to get used to his presence and make something of it, because it's not like he's going away. This entire thing is his story, so if you're here watching it, well, you're watching his story. You become invested in some way because that's the whole story.
Mm-hmm. And it starts off, another actor actually plays the young Blackbeard. There's a character, Nettie. Eva Miller plays the younger. And we see the first girl that he falls in love with who kind of breaks his heart a little bit. As Miles said, you do see kind of the evolution of the character.
We have some photos up on the website. We have the photo of the older Blackbeard and the younger Blackbeard. For anyone who wants to see how much fun these young folks have been having, they're at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. This one is from Pericles. What am I looking at here, Julie?
Right. So this is not a scene from the show. This was like, we need a Pericles photo. I'll just be straight up with you because we're still, it's a 3-week program. So we are halfway to the process of like having a set, having costumes. The kids are working on the props. They're doing it all with some really great adult artists and mentors.
We're literally at the halfway point right now.
Yes.
Right. And there's a lot to do, but it's coming together. But in this photo, you see the young man with the astronaut head. That's actually, I think, just going to be part of a lobby display of a robot we're going to do. But that is actually my son, Seth Copins, is playing the role of Pericles. He wasn't initially assigned that role. He had a supporting part, but we had one actor who's going through an illness right now, unfortunately. So we had to do a last-minute shuffle. So he's playing Pericles. And then all around him are the other characters. King Simonides is played by Kira Wood, standing behind him. And you see Kat there. As Thaisa, and they're just kind of reacting to this crazy space hero who landed on their planet from who knows where.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And here we've got Miles and Eva, young Blackbeard and mature Blackbeard, and then the full cast of Bloody Blackbeard. You have a lot of... this is a big group of kids.
It is. We've got about 30 kids involved in the program altogether.
Are any of them in both plays?
No, they're separate.
Wow.
But we do a lot of all company rehearsal warm-ups, ensemble building. So every day we have a really fun kind of elective period called clubs where kids get to work in some other areas, focus on working on stage crew or doing some musical theater choreography or doing this week we have an American Sign Language club led by a community person, and so the kids are exposed to some different aspects of the performing arts and of culture, and they get to mix and be social with everybody. We're all part of one big ensemble, which makes it a lot of fun.
And then of course you've had a lot of support from other creatives, from music, choreography, tech, stage management. Who has been working with you behind the scenes?
So our music director on Bloody Blackbeard, Rick Trostel, many folks know in the community. He's done a wonderful job. He's pulled together. We're going to have a wonderful band, guitar, bass. The music of the show is very American roots, a lot of Celtic influence, some Afro-Caribbean influence. So it's all acoustic. It's going to be beautiful. We have choreographer Haley Duran working with the kids with movement on both shows. There are some fight sequences, of course, dances in the show. She's been working hard with the students. Brita Fagerstrom has come on to assist Haley. She's a performance coach. We've got Frank Delaney, our new managing director of Perseverance Theater. Not really. related to Shelley. He's come down. He's directing Pericles, and he is a Shakespeare savant, basically, really gifted, and has been working with the students on that show, assisted by Lily Odekirk. We've got some really gifted stage manager people, artisans. We have a technical director, Sarah Moretz, who came up from California. She's been working with the students, empowering them to work safely and efficiently backstage, building the set. We are building a pirate ship on stage. It's coming together. And yeah, so a lot of adults, Ruth Fulweiler on costuming, some familiar faces from Stars past, but we've got a lot of new folks cycling in too. So an amazing team. And I would say what we really stressed at the beginning when we all got together just as a staff was, yes, we want to put on two awesome shows for our community. We want the productions to be professional. We want to set a high standard for the students, but it's a learning program. It's about the kids, and what serves the students comes first. And the show really is a happy byproduct of getting all these creative kids together, giving them the power to do something they never thought they could do. We really try to keep the stress of the production to a minimum. We really try to make things work for the kids so that they can feel successful. So that's our goal. And I think so far, I mean, these guys can chime in. If we really try to keep it fun and exciting, and because it's summertime, summer theater.
Sure.
You know, we want to take off the pressure, but the show's got to be awesome, and they will be. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. We're going to take a quick break to listen to some original music from the score of Bloody Blackbeard. Boy, I can't say that. I knew I was going to trip over that. This is by Laurelyn Dossett. She's a prominent musician in the Americana roots genre, and she's coming to town to lead a workshop and perform some concerts, so we will talk more about that when we return. You're listening to Juno Afternoon.